Well, actually, I said this a little earlier and someone looked at me confused, but I said, Feast of Tabernacles is history. Today is the last great day, but it is a separate feast. We've enjoyed, have we had joy here throughout this feast? Have we learned throughout this feast? I'm telling you from experience, each feast just amplifies to the next. There is trials, troubles, there's joy, happiness, sadness. It all comes together, but it's what? For what? It's for building our character for a purpose that's promised in Revelations in the future to come. We become overcomers. That's what we have to be, is overcomers. And after today's message, I've got a lot. We're going to use mathematics, Jose, today. We're going to, I want to show you a deeper perspective of something that was laid on my heart. And after today, this message, we'll definitely be overcomers. But Feast of Tabernacles, now we're here at the last great day. We're going to take a look at blood sacrifice, blood and salvation. Of the bullock, the lambs, the goats, and the rams. Blood that was shed. Blood in the past that was shed for the sins of the people. Always. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, if you look back in history, and that's what history is for us to learn. And supposed to correct and do better. But it seems like man's nature is never to learn from history. But as the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they had to be retaught. 400 years they were in slavery, that they were controlled by the Egyptians. Yahweh had to reteach them the Sabbath. He had to teach them the holy days. He instructed them on building the tabernacle. That's something I went over last Feast of Tabernacles. And we'll take a little bit closer look at it. Get this right. So the title of the message is Blood of Unto Salvation. We're going to take a look starting back in history, looking back. Back again when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and were in the wilderness. The priests were chosen by Yahweh. Yahweh told Moses that the priests would come from the lineage of Aaron. Exodus 28:1 says, And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. These were assigned by Yahweh. These were to be the priest in the priest's garments. There's explicit, Elder Allen mentioned this a few Sabbaths back, that there was explicit instructions on the construction of the tabernacle, the material used, how it was to be constructed, the priest's garments, everything. Yahweh explicitly in the Old Testament, it is recorded there how to take and how to do according to His word and His will, the way He wanted it. Exodus 28:2 through 39 describes Aaron's garments as being the high priest. Let's look at 33 through 35 of 28. It says, And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in into the holy place before Yahweh, and when he cometh out, that he die not. Now, sometimes we read over these things, and they don't catch our attention at first. But you notice it mentioned that the high priest's garment was to have, when you read all of 28, I'm just pulling out excerpts for time's sake, but it said that the pomegranate and the bells was to be put at the hem of the high priest's garment. They would ring as he would walk. As he would enter the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest alone was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies upon the Day of Atonement. And that was, he was heard in his movement because of these bells ringing. Exodus 28:40 describes Aaron's son's garments. They were different. There was the priests and there was the high priest. Let's look at 41 through 43. It says, "And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, the garments, and shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him." Yahweh said a statute forever. And this was a process, an intricate detail that they had to do, the garments they had to wear. Here's kind of a vision of what it'd be like. The colorful garment there, the three individuals, is the high priest. And then the priests themselves had more of a white. Now, I'll jump ahead a little bit to imagine this, though, but now we're fixing to talk about blood sacrifice. And for those priests to wear a white garment, blood got on those garments. The sacrifices that are offered that we're fixing to take a look at, blood showed, and you know how red shows upon white. Sin was not a beautiful thing, and we're going to take a look at that. The animals that were sacrificed, we'll take a look at the smell, the blood. Sin is uncomely to Yahweh. It's a stink in his nostrils. And part of the priest's job before the children of Israel is these animals that had to give their lives for the individuals, for the people. From the time of Adam and from the first time of sin, you know, an animal had to give its life there, because it said that they were, Adam and Eve were given animal skins for clothing. And an animal cannot run around without its skin. That life had to be taken. And from that time forth, for us and our sins, animals have had to lose their life until, we'll look at, until the time of Yahshua. The blood had to be sacrificed. But only through all that time, the blood only covered the sin. It did not remove it or take it away. It was something they had to do to obey the Heavenly Father, to be able to be a part, to be counted worthy until the time that was future presented. As Yahweh had said, it was never his intentions that animals die for their blood shed for the humans. So the high priest there, this was the garment he would wear when he had entered in before Yahweh into the Holy of Holies. Aaron's sons. Now, Aaron and his sons, they were human as well. They had sin. They had to have their sin covered to do the work in the tabernacle. Exodus 21 through 9 starts explaining about the consecration of Aaron and his sons, how they had to be consecrated, made holy, that they could do the service of the Heavenly Father. Exodus 29, 8 through 9. Says, "And thou shalt bring his sons and put coats upon them, and thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons." Exodus 29, 10 through 46. They had to have a blood sacrifice. Blood had to be shed for Aaron and his sons for them to be purified and consecrated to be able to perform the office, the duties they were to do for the children of Israel in the tabernacle. Exodus 29, 29 and 30 says, "And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him." Now, after Aaron's succession, there continued to be high priests. And this is how the procedure would take place. Said to be anointed therein and to be consecrated in them. And that son that is priest in his stead shall put them on 7 days when he cometh into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister into the holy place. Let's go on to 29:35-37. It says, and thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. 7 days it took to consecrate Aaron and his sons. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it. And thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. So this is Yahweh's command at how the priests were to be sanctified so that they can perform the duties that he would have them to do. 42-46 of Exodus 29. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Yahweh, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their Elohim. So upon this sanctification, and then as they started to do the commandments of Yahweh and the ordinances that we'll take a look at, Yahweh said that the children of Israel, and he would be their Elohim, and that they would be his children. That's been his heart's desire all along. Oh, and then 46, continue. It says, and they shall know that I am Yahweh, their Elohim, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am Yahweh, their Elohim. He wants to be our Elohim. He wants to be our Father. Exodus 30:22-25 describes how they were to make the holy anointing oil for anointing Aaron and his sons, for anointing the tabernacle itself. Exodus 30:26-29, the entire tabernacle is anointed. You can take a look by reading back in history these scriptures. And then 30 and 31 of Exodus 29, it says, and thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. To consecrate, to follow through with Yahweh's command. So, let's back up just a minute. Blood. Blood is life. The blood is the very essence of our being. We lose our blood, there's no life in us. For those that are RNs and nurses and doctors, you know the blood pressure. As you lose blood or you lose your blood pressure, there comes a point that where the life is over. Genesis 9:1-6 says, and Elohim blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon the fishes of the sea. Unto your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh within the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So the flesh with the life, the blood thereof is the life. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast. I will require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of Elohim made he man. Blood is life. In Leviticus 17:11-14, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar, to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, No soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. Blood is life, for it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eat it shall be cut off. Now I want you to understand, of course, the importance of the blood within our bodies, the blood that was shed of animals, the blood of Yahshua. Blood saves lives. Exodus 12, 17, 13, 22, and 23, those verses, as you look back at the time of Passover, when the death angel went through Egypt, and when the blood was on the doorposts and the lintels, the death angel passed over. The blood saved the lives, the firstborn within those abodes. Exodus 12, let's look at 13 and 23. Says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. For Yahweh will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahweh will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. We have the blood of the covenant. Exodus 24, 6 through 8 says, this was the time when the children of Israel went and Yahweh presented his commandments. They were presented. And he says, obey these commandments and I will be your Elohim and you will be my people. It says, Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that Yahweh has said, we will do. The children of Israel said that they would do. And be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh hath made with you concerning all these words. The agreement that was made between the children of Israel and Yahweh through animal blood at this time. What blood? Well, I just said it. The animal sacrifices. The animals' bloods that were sacrificed. Animal sacrifice is the blood for life back then. Now, we're going to take a look at Numbers 28 and 29. You can read it at your time. This has been mentioned in the last couple of weeks and even at the feast. We're not going to read through. I'm just going to summarize and give you some mathematics here because I want you to see the perspective of what went on with the children of Israel and the blessing we have at the sacrifice that Yahshua chose to do for us. Let's just start off with Numbers 28, 1 and 2. It says, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season. And we're in one of those due seasons right now. We just kept the Feast of Tabernacles. We're in the day of the last great day. Other due seasons, we'll see the Sabbath. Days of unleavened bread, all of the holy days. And Yahweh has commanded that the children of Israel shall keep what we're fixing to take a look at. Commanded. Yahweh says these are all found in Numbers 28 and 29. Said that there was to be a day by day offering. Every day you was to offer a lamb, 1/10 ephah of flour with, for a let's back up. Continual burnt offering was one lamb. Meat offering was 1/10 ephah of flour with 1/4 hin of oil. And then the drink offering was 1/4 hin of strong wine. Okay, I did some extensive research, and you can only approximate. They say between then time, the children of Israel went into Egypt, and the influence of other cultures, they can only approximate what the equivalency of ephah and hin is. And approximate, the best I could come up with, an ephah is approximately 4.8 gallons. Of course, that's supposed to be dry gallons, 21.14 liters. A hin is approximately 3.724 quarts. So you take a tenth of the ephah and then a quarter of the hin of oil, a quarter of the hin of strong wine. That's really not the focus we're going to do, is not the meat offering, the drink offering, but this is from the scriptures. So for a morning offering, this was the sacrifice that had to be made, that the priest had to do for the congregation of the entire children of Israel. Evening offering was the same. One lamb, the same with the meat offering, the same with the drink offering. It was to be offered every day, day by day. Sabbath day. For the burnt offering, there was two lambs of the first year. So two lambs were to be offered on the Sabbath day. And then it was, of course, it's two tenths ephah of flour with a quarter hin of oil was the meat offering, and the drink offering was a quarter hin of strong wine. Also, though, in addition to that, in addition to the Sabbath day, you had to still do the daily offering, which was one lamb in the morning, one lamb in the evening, and, of course, the meat offering and the drink offering as well. Beginning of months, the new moon. We go out and observe the new moon. It was commanded here, these were the offerings to be made. For the burnt offering was two bullocks, one ram, seven lambs to be offered at the new moon. And, of course, the meat offering. And if you look there in parentheses in black, it's three tenths for every bullock. So you'd multiply that by two, and it's six tenths. And you can do the mathematics there if you go back. We're focusing on the animals, basically. But then the drink offering and the sin offering was one goat. So we're going to simplify it. We're going to remove the meat and drink offerings. We're just going to look at the animals. But I wanted to give you a perspective that that's how it started. Then that, and then throughout, if you look at it, I guess it'd get very complex if I kind of try to keep up with all the meat offerings and drink offerings and all this too. The focus is the animals. So the beginning of months, new moon, there was two bullocks, one ram, seven lambs, and one goat, plus the daily continual burnt offering of one lamb in the morning, one lamb in the evening. So the beginning of months, total, you would offer two bullocks, one ram, seven plus two, nine lambs, and one goat. They had to have a herd of flocks, as we'll see, to follow this. Feast of Unleavened Bread. Each day for 7 days, they would offer two bullocks, one ram, seven lambs, and one goat. That's each day, along with the daily offering of one lamb in the morning, one lamb in the evening, two lambs. So, it'd be two bullocks, one ram, nine lambs, and one goat. Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. For 7 days, this times seven, 14 bullocks, seven rams, 49 lambs, and seven goats. And then plus, you had to add to that one lamb in the morning, one lamb in the evening for every 7 days, 14 lambs. Day of First Fruits, Pentecost, two bullocks, one ram, seven lambs, one goat, plus the daily offering of one lamb in the morning, one lamb in the evening. So that's two bullocks, one ram, nine lambs, and they said nine lambs and one goat. The day of blowing of trumpets. We'll see something interesting here. One bullock, one ram, seven lambs, one goat, plus the daily continual burnt offering of two lambs, one in the morning, one in the evening, plus Feast of Trumpets is when we always have to go out to visit the new moon. So also, beginning of months, they had to also offer the two bullocks, one ram, seven lambs, and one goat. As you can see, as this accumulates, this is a great responsibility and a great duty that these priests had for the children of Israel. For this is for the whole congregation, the whole children of Israel that these priests did. So the total for the Feast of Trumpets is, if you add all of it together, it ends up being 3 bullocks, 2 rams, 16 lambs, and 2 goats. Day to afflict your souls, Day of Atonement. As we move forward, 1 bullock, 1 ram, 7 lambs, 1 goat, plus the daily morning and evening offering of 2 lambs. Plus, also, a sin offering of atonement. This was additional at the time of atonement. It was offered 1 bullock, 2 rams, and then with the goats, you see one in parentheses, that's the Azazel goat. That's the goat. It wasn't killed. It was released into the wilderness. But 1 goat was slaughtered. So the total for atonement was 2 bullocks, 3 rams, 9 lambs, and then 2 goats, and 1 was released for the time of atonement. Feast of Tabernacles. First day, first high day of Tabernacles, 13 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, 1 goat. Now the rams, lambs, and goats stay consecutive. The bullocks decrease each day, as you see. Day 2, 12 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, 1 goat, and then 11 bullocks, 2, 14, and 1. Down to the 5th day, down to the 6th day, you're down to 8 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, and 1 goat. Day 7, 7 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, and 1 goat. And then the last great day that we're in today, 1 bullock, 1 ram, 7 lambs, and 1 goat would be offered today. So the total for Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day, 71 bullocks. A herd? Almost? 15 rams. 105 lambs. 8 goats. This is Feast of Tabernacles and Last Great Day. This is what would have accomplished it, drawing a close to the end of this day, would have this right here, these totals would have been done during this period of time if it were not for our Savior. Plus, you got to remember, it was a daily burnt offering each one of those days for 8 days, 7 days of the Feast Tabernacles, and then the Last Great Day. So that's 16 lambs on top of that. So actually the grand total, 71 bullocks, 15 rams, the 105 plus 16, 121 lambs, and 8 goats. I don't know about y'all, but I see a massive herd of animals that have to be slaughtered. And then Numbers 29 says, 39 through 40, "These things ye shall do unto Yahweh in your set feasts, besides your vows and your freewill offerings, for your burnt offerings and for your meat offerings and for your drink offerings and for your peace offerings." And Moses told the children of Israel according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses. Now, these were the specific commanded. This was not all the sacrifices. We're just going to focus on what was in Numbers 29. There's sin offerings. There's freewill offerings. And we're not even talking about the doves and the pigeons that were sacrificed. We're just looking at bullocks, rams, sheep, or lambs. Rams, lambs, and goats. So, I'm giving you a concept here. This is just not all. This is a snidbit of what we're taking a look at. So now, some more mathematics to try to summarize some things here. Animals to sacrifice in a year. Now, you have to kind of follow me here in some of this. It might do it easy, might not. But a day-by-day continual burnt offering each day. Well, if you take not the Gregorian calendar, but the biblical calendar, 29, 30 days alternate. So that would be 6 months of 29, 6 months of 30. That's where I get the minimum of 354. There is a time where we have to add a month. It could be 29 or 30 days. Say 30 days. That's where I get the 384. These are just giving you a range to give you a concept of what I'm trying to point out. Well, two lambs are offered each day, so you multiply that. So in a year's time, there's somewhere between 708 and 768 lambs that were slaughtered. The Sabbath day. All right? A lot of people say, well, you know, there's 12 months, so there's 12 Sabbaths. It doesn't quite work that way. For every 7 days, you know, if people that receive paychecks, which is that they get one extra paycheck a year according to how they get paid in a cycle. So you count it, if you just count it, divide seven, every 7 days into the 354, I rounded it off. It's a little bit over 50, but it's 50. Seven into 384 is 54 point something. We just rounded it. It's all, like I said, this is all generalities to give you a perspective. So somewhere between 50, 54 Sabbaths. You know if we look at the Gregorian calendar, we got 52 weeks in a year? If you look at it, the Gregorian calendar, there's 365 and a quarter days. So we're right in that range. But two lambs was offered on the Sabbath. That's 100 to 108 lambs. Beginning of months. Remember the beginning of months? See, there's either 12 months or 13 months. Every once in a while, you know, every so often to realign, Yahweh commanded that you add a month. So our range is 12 to 13 months times two bullocks. There was 24 to 26 bullocks in a year that was offered. One ram per each of those days, so there's 12 to 13 rams. Seven lambs per each of those days, so that's 84 to 91 lambs. One goat per each day, 12 to 13 goats. Feast of unleavened bread. Feast for 7 days. That's two bullocks each day, 14 bullocks. One ram per day, seven rams. Seven lambs per day, 49 lambs. One goat per day, seven goats. Now, this is a review of what I just showed previously, but we're using this in a year's time to give you same mathematics done a different way, because I'm accumulating this for you to see something. Days of first fruits. Two bullocks, one ram, seven lambs, one goat. Day of blowing of trumpets. One bullock. Bullocks, I guess. I left the S on there. One bullock, one ram, seven lambs, one goat. Day to afflict your souls. Atonement. You have one bullock. So again, one ram, seven lambs, one goat, plus the sin offering of atonement, which is one bullock, two ram, no lambs, one goat. Now you notice I'm not adding the daily offerings in here because we did that total at the very beginning. Feast of Tabernacles, 71 bullocks, 15 rams, 105 lambs, 8 goats. Some of these animals were sacrificed in a year. You're looking between 114 to 116 bullocks in a year. 39 to 40 rams within a year. Between 1,067 to 1,142 lambs within a year. 31 to 32 goats in a year. Now, man. An average man, we're using average here, and these were not easy to come by, these facts. Roughly, it's closer to 5 quarts of blood we have in our bodies. That's an average person, 5 quarts of blood. 1.25 gallons, somewhere between 1.2 and 1.5 gallons. A bullock. 17.2 to 8 quarts of blood, which is 4.5 gallons of blood in their body. The ram, depends on size. Now, rams and goats, they vary in size greatly. Between 7 and 7.5 quarts, 1 and 3 quarters to almost 2 gallons of blood. the goat. And for some of those that raise goats know, they are some pretty large goats, but anywhere from 4 to 10.2 quarts, roughly. 1 to 2.5 gallons of blood within a goat. And then a lamb is 3.5, 3.75 quarts of blood. Lamb's small. Now, back to those totals. I took the minimum. Between the two ranges, I took the minimum, 114 bullocks. Times 4.3 gallons, approximately 490 gallons of blood that was in a year's time that was shed. 39 rams at 1.75 gallons, 68 and a quarter gallons of blood that was shed. The lamb is only 3.5 quarts. You have to do the mathematics, but it converts to 933 gallons of blood, a little better. Then your goats, 1 gallon per goat, 31 gallons. That's an awful lot of blood that was shed for the people. In a year's time, 1,523 gallons of blood. Now that's not a specific exact figure, but it's just to give you a vision of the blood that was shed per year. Now, the children of Israel, let's do a little perspective. The children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. So you know what that total would be of the blood shed? 60,000 gallons of blood shed. Animals paid a great sacrifice for our sins, the lives that were shed. Now, to give you a perspective of that, if they had tanker trucks in their days, these fuel tankers you see hauling, going down the road, they would come out of Egypt, I mean, they would come out of the wilderness with almost 7 tanker trucks full of blood if they were to carry it. The blood was spilt on the ground, but if they were to have caught all that blood, just in these figures I gave you alone, that would be 7 of those gas tankers you see at the convenience stores filling up. That's an awful lot of blood. Now, guess what? That was just 40 years. That's not the blood that was shed, that's not counting the years of the judges, the years of King David's rule, Solomon's rule, until the time that the tabernacle was destroyed, or the temple, because they converted from the tabernacle to the temple. And those sacrifices were still offered in the temple. So we can't fathom the amount of blood that animals sacrificed. The cover sin, not get rid of it. They lost their lives so that the children of Israel could stay within the commandments of Yahweh and what he commanded. Yahshua's blood replaced every bit of that. If you look in Matthew 26:28, blood was shed, his blood, Yahshua's blood, was shed for the remission of sins. Mark 14:24, Yahshua's blood was shed for many. That's what it says. In Luke 22:20, Yahshua's blood shed for you, each one of you. John 6:53-56, Yahshua's blood is eternal life. It's stated there. Yahshua's blood. 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was that perfect lamb that his blood replaced all that blood. And what it also do, it removed our sins. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Yahshua Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Our Savior, Yahshua, his blood cleanses us from all sin. Every bit, it's gone, as we'll see. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the assembly of Elohim, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's Yahshua and what he has done, what he did. Let me take a moment and let you think about something else. If you read in John, Yahshua's prayer to the Heavenly Father just before his execution, he said, Father, he said, take me back to the glory that I had before, essentially paraphrasing, he was on this earth. The essence of Yahshua came down, became man, left immortality behind. Now, when Yahshua told the disciples, what better friend is he that lays down his life for his friend? Yahshua left mortality behind. His name became Yahshua when he was, I'm talking about the essence. He became Yahshua as he was born of the flesh. But he left more immortality behind to live that life, knowing that he was going to have to die and suffer, that his blood would be shed, that he would replace all those animals, that we have hope. He loved each one of us that much. So what the secular world doesn't understand is we're to still follow his commandments. Yahshua even said it himself, if you love me, keep my commandments. So through his blood and shed, we just don't stop and say, oh, it's over. He's done it all for us. We still have to do our part. He's just the void that was made when Adam and Eve sinned, when there was a gulf put between Adam and Eve and Yahweh. Yahshua's there to close that void with his blood, that when he can take his blood to the mercy seat of Yahweh himself and say, they were a good and faithful servant. I use my blood to cover their sins, to wash their sins away, that they can enter into the kingdom. We're purchased with his own blood. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have that redemption through his blood. Yahshua's blood, Ephesians 2:8-22, we're reconciled back to Yahweh through the blood of Yahshua. That's where I was talking about. We have that hope. Ephesians 2:12-13-15. But now in the Messiah, Yahshua, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Messiah. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He's broke down that division by offering his life and his blood. Read all of Colossians, the first chapter, 1-29, at some time. Let's take a look at the 14th verse to start with. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Our sins are forgiven through Yahshua's blood. Then 20-22 says, and having made peace through the blood of his stake, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is the promise of the time to come by Yahshua's sacrifice, by his blood. Romans 5, read it in its entirety. But let's take a look at 8 and 9. But Elohim commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And you know, sometimes it's, how's the phrase? It's easy to be good to those that are good to us. You know, it's hard to love your enemies. And But here, you know, it said, when we were yet in sin, Yahshua still sacrificed his life. Doing good to others, his love for us, and what he wanted us to be saved. He wants us in the future to be able to enter into that kingdom. Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to Elohim by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. This is looking to our promise that he was slain and has redeemed us, once again redeemed us by his blood. So the blood unto salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10. For Yahweh hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our master, Yahshua Messiah, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. A promise we're to look forward to. 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Messiah Yahshua with eternal glory. This is what was spoken of. This is what is brought forth today. That the promise we have to tell the people that we have hope for. And in Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now see, all them that obey him, that keep his commandments. He is the author to eternal salvation by his blood being shed. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I've got name underlined because when someone calls your name, you turn and look or respond. And this is what we've talked about in the names of Yahweh and Yahshua. It says, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but by Yahshua through the shedding of his blood. Revelation 1:5. And from Yahshua Messiah, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins, in his own blood did he do this. Back to Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Being made perfect. We're going to take a look at that in just a moment. Revelation 7:13-17 tells us that the robes of the saints are washed white in the blood of the Lamb. You know, that's the priests that did the daily duties wore white garments, and blood was spilt upon them garments, so they were blood stained. Here, the robes will be washed white with the blood of Yahshua. Revelation 12:10-11. Overcomers. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Yahshua. If you go to these scriptures, this is what it tells you. I'm just summarizing for you. Revelation 19:11-16. Yahshua was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. The blood of the new covenant, Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. You need to read it over and over again because of the promises it shows there. If you understand, because when we look at the functions of the tabernacle and you take a look at Hebrews and look at how Yahshua replaced the duties of the high priest. Hebrews 8:8-10 reads, For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh. Now, in the bold or the capital is referring back to the Old Testament. Come, saith Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Yahweh. See, we're reflecting back when they came out of Egypt. Remember when Moses took the blood and sprinkled it? They said, We will do your commandments. He says, Obey my commandments, and I will be your Elohim, and you will be my people. You know, I mentioned it before, you know that Yahweh promised the children of Israel, if they obeyed his commandments and kept his commandments, he said, I will walk before you, I will fight your battles for you, I will walk upon the land, I will do everything for you. He said he would provide cities that were already built, that were already filled, that already had all your needs. Yahweh said, if you keep my commandments, I will provide all. And we failed. The children of Israel failed. And we have to keep working at it, even to this day, to try to stay on track and to focus on obeying Yahweh and his commandments. 10th verse. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my laws in their mind and write them upon their hearts, and I will make to them an Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. Okay, a reflection here is back in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, Moses had the tablets with the Ten Commandments written on them physically in stone. Here, after Yahshua's death and resurrection, the Spirit, those that have been baptized, those that are trying to serve Yahweh, and the guiding Spirit of the Heavenly Father, that's what's in our minds now, trying to serve, trying to do, trying to obey. And it's in our hearts to try to do and to follow. But still, all that we do, we can't do it without Yahshua. We have no hope, no matter how much we do. We got to have Yahshua. Blood of the New Covenant. Hebrews 9, 1 through 6 talks about the divine service of the first covenant. That was the covenant we talked about in Exodus. But let's look at Hebrews 9, 7. It says, But unto the second, let me stop right there. The high priest, remember, went into the Holy of Holies to offer blood upon the altar of the Ark of the Covenant for the sins of the people, but also for himself, because he was a mortal being, a human that sinned as well, had sinned as well. Here, 7th verse, But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. See, he had to offer blood for himself as well. Then Hebrews 9, 8 through 10, talks about the service of the priests. They weren't perfect in the first covenant. Like, it just kind of amplifies that right there in the seventh verse. Hebrews 9, 11 through 28. Listen carefully to these words. But Messiah, being come an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. That's the tabernacle where Yahweh the Father resides now. Not made with hands, that is not to say of this building. The children of Israel built the tabernacle in the wilderness. We're talking about spiritually, beyond our realm, of comprehension. Neither by the blood of goats, like we were looking at, and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, by living his life, his execution, his resurrection, he became a high priest that what he doesn't have to offer blood. He was the only one that lived sin-free and only one that earned eternal life. And now he lays down his life by his blood for each of us. But that he, not having to offer sacrifices blood sacrifice for himself, but he enters into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to Elohim, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim? This is the promise we have by Yahshua becoming that high priest. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. To understand something here, Testament. Most people of the world, as they get on up in age and they have values or whatever, they write out a will. This is a way to look at this testament, is like a will. When they write out a will, they're going to give, they're going to bequeath to their family members and their children and their wife or whatever, their possessions, their a lot of battles have come over wills, their wealth. But that will does not take effect until that person dies. It is a piece of paper that is not legal until the person dies. When that person dies, the will takes effect. And here's what we're saying here with Yahshua the Messiah. In the Testament, it says, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. It says, for where a testament is, there must also be the necessity of the death of the testator. That's Yahshua. Our promise that we have to look to in the future comes to us because Yahshua died. His blood was shed. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. So, like we had mentioned even before, with the blood of the animals that where they made the first covenant. But in the 20th verse, saying, this is the blood of the testament which Elohim hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. That was the sanctifying of the tabernacle. It says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. It says, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of these things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. The sacrifice of the Lamb. For Messiah is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Elohim for us. So where the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and before the essence of Yahweh at the Ark of the Covenant, and he spread the blood upon the mercy seat, Yahshua himself went back to the heavens where Yahweh the Father is and stood before the Father and stands before the Father in our behalf. Nor, the 25th verse, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. So there, the priest, every year at the time of atonement, he had to shed the animal's blood for himself and for the children of Israel. Yahshua, a more perfect sacrifice, doesn't have to do that. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Messiah was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And my hope and prayer is that each and every one of us will be able to experience that one day in the near future. I tell you, I don't, you know, when I was just 20 years ago, I didn't fathom the world getting like it was as it is now. And it's hard to fathom if it gets any worse. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4, a few more scriptures. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. That's talking about the animal sacrifices that didn't make the people perfect. It just covered the sins. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more consciousness of sin. But they were not perfect. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Every year, those sacrifices we looked at had to be done year in and year out, year after year after year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And then the 9th and 10th verse says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O Elohim. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Some of the secular world, the Christian world, might not understand this. Yeah, something was replaced. Something was done away with. The animal sacrifices. Yahshua was the perfect sacrifice. He washes away the sin, not covers it. And there's no need now for animal sacrifices evermore. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Yahshua Messiah once for all. Once. Hebrews 10, 14 through 18. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By his one life, the one time, him being the Lamb, his blood shed. Whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. There it is again. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. The animal sacrifices. We walk in the path of following Yahshua and serving Yahweh the Father through Yahshua. There's no more animal sacrifice to be made. Revelation 22, 1 through 4 in promise says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. This is a promise to look forward to in the future. And then the 14th verse and the 17th verse of Revelation 22. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Well, if all that stuff was done away, there's no need for that anymore. Just love, love your neighbor, peace. It says here in Revelation, blessed are they that do his commandments, and they will have the right to the tree of life. 17th verse, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So in this last great day, as we stand here, it's my heart's desire, and I'm positive it's your heart's desire, that you want to try to enter into that kingdom. In this last great day, in John 7, 33 through 37, we'll take a look at this as we draw to a close. Then said Yahshua unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go in unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither he go? That we shall not find him? Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and I shall not, and shall not find me? And where I am, thither you cannot come. They didn't understand. In the last day, that great day of the feast that we're in now, Yahshua stood there at this moment in time and said, and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Do you thirst? Do you want to drink from that water of life freely? Do you want to serve the Heavenly Father? Accept Yahshua and his blood. We've had 8 that did that and have been baptized and are looking forward to moving forward through the blood of Yahshua for a promise. In that last great day, we look back to the past, the present we're in now, but also for the future. Are we thirsty? Do we want this? How much do we want this? In that last great day, the blood into salvation is through Yahshua the Messiah for eternal life, an eternal promise of life in that kingdom. Yahweh bless until that day comes. Hallelujah.